I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians are about.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Les Hang Out, the podcast where I need a hero. I'm holding out for a hero till the morning light. She's gotta be strong and she's gotta be fast and she's gotta for sure be a dyke.
Yes.
I need a hero.
She does gotta for sure be a dyke. Let's be
she's
real.
She's gotta for sure be. Listen.
Let's be real. Yes.
From the West Coast, I'm Lee Holmes Foster.
And from the East Coast, I'm Ellie Brigida. To those of you who have been with us through this whole journey, thank you as always for listening. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're excited to have you here. Here's what's happening this week.
This Week in the Lesdom.
This Week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. We are so excited about our trip to Croatia next September. We have 5 spots left on that trip, so if you want to sign up, you can do that at bit.ly/lesdocroatia.
We also want to remind everyone that in Season 6, we have started releasing bonus episodes for our Patreon supporters. You get those at any level of Patreon support. Our last one that came out a couple weeks back was on Everything Everywhere All at Once. And our newest one coming out today is on Fire Island. We had so many thoughts about this movie. You're going to want to check it out. If you want to join our Patreon to get access to all those episodes, this was our 7th, I think, bonus Patreon episode. You can find that at bit.ly/lespatreon.
We were nominated for a Queerty Award. Voting is over, but we will find out tomorrow if we have won an award or not. So we will let you know. I'll be on the
Incredible.
Red carpet. Can't wait.
Fingers crossed.
I miss Lee, but I will be going to the red carpet, so I will keep you all updated.
I am
socials.
Extremely jealous and
I'm very sad
about the whole thing.
I'm very sad. I was really looking forward to like matching suits, you know.
Listen,
like, really,
I
the next time we're together in person, we just
someone invite
some
us to another
suits.
Red carpet.
Please.
Okay, that's all.
Please.
Please. Okay. Also, we want to make sure everyone knows our next trivia event is gonna be coming up on March 26th. It is gonna be Yellow Jackets premiere trivia. So we are going to be leading up to the season 2 Yellow Jackets premiere on the night of the 26th with trivia on season 1 of Yellow Jackets. So March 26th, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. We are so excited.
In the Greater Les universe, there is a new study that came out that said there is a surprisingly large amount of LGBTQ+ people in the United States. I'm not surprised. Are you, Lee?
I am 0% surprised. 0%. I just did a poll of myself and my surprise level was 0%.
7.2% of the population identify as LGBTQ+. We love a mouthful of an LGBTQ acronym. And most of that 7.2% is listening to this show right now. So hi, everyone.
Hey.
We love you.
Also in the Greater Les universe, we want to give a shout out to Rebel Wilson, just got engaged.
I also am going to say, like, girl move gay fast.
Yes, very fast. Came I was just going to say, like, when did she come out officially?
Like, this is such a gay story. Like, she like came
I need
out.
To I need to know.
This is the first woman I think she's ever been with. And she was just like, I'm in love and like got engaged and blah, blah, blah. So it's a very gay story in our real
life.
Okay,
she came out in like June of last year.
Oh, yeah. I told it's fast.
Yeah.
It's super a very fast. Fast gay timeline.
We have nothing but respect. Love it.
Rebel did it right. Also, I saw that Rachel Weisz is going to be playing a lesbian gynecologist, which like dreams come true for all of us.
Has anyone checked in on Lauren Flans? Is she okay?
Is she okay? Are you okay, Lauren? Send us a message. Blink twice if you're okay, Lauren. That's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee. We are so excited to bring you episode 14 of season 6, Dyke in Shining Armor.
I am very excited for this episode because we have actually had this on our list of things we needed to talk about since our first season.
Yeah, from even before our first season
we were
started.
Like, we
this
need
is
to
from
talk
our
about this.
Our very first list of ideas, right? Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe let's say, like, what is a dyke in shining armor? To you, Lee, what is your definition of a dyke in shining armor?
It's a knight in shining armor.
But a lesbian.
Who is that? Is that... Sorry,
that's
was
good.
That not
that's good.
Clear?
It should be clear. Yeah, yeah.
Was that clear?
Well, to me, it's, thought... to me, it's like... To me,
no, tell me what you mean. Yeah, I know. Give me the example. What are you going for here?
Like, to me, it's like...
She a dyke.
Yes. To me, it's just like a queer woman. I feel like not only saves other women, but like feels like it is her only purpose in life to save people.
Okay,
and women,
fair.
Right? That's like, yeah. To me, the dyke in shining armor. I mean, also from the other side of it, because we're going to talk about some media dykes in shining armor. I think there's that other side of like, are you a woman who's listening to the show who's like, all I want is a like hefty dyke to come save me and like fix my furniture and like sweep me away. You know, like I think there's like you sort of have both sides of it when you talk about a dyke in shining armor. Like there's the dyke who saves and then there's the lesbian who is saved.
The lesbian in a tower.
Right?
Brushing her hair.
Yeah, there's like the Rapunzel in the dyke in shining armor.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, okay. So I guess I see what you're going for more. You're like, what does a dyke in shining armor mean to me?
Right? Yes.
What does a dyke in shining armor mean to me? I guess, boy, if somebody wanted to sponsor us for saying dyke this episode, this is going to be great. There is something in the like the quintessential hero, right? Like you're chivalrous, you're selfless, you're... Like, you put others before yourself. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And also have a sword, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes
your standard,
have a sword.
Your standard stuff.
Sword, gun, rope. Sure. You know, whatever they've got.
This is like a game of Clue.
Yeah, yeah. Where was
the
dyke?
Oh, my God. Can we make like a special Clue, like dyke and shining armor edition?
We should.
Right?
Yes.
Right? And you can have all the different weapons they might have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what famous media lesbian wields a candlestick? We gotta figure this out.
I feel like a candlestick would be someone from Portrait of a Lady on Fire. You know, you would need like an old school gay to be with a candlestick.
We can work through it.
We can do this.
I'm gonna look up all the Clue things because I'm forgetting them all. Well, I'm already.
Like, we are going to talk about Bound
there's
today,
a knife,
so I'm like, there's
no sword, so we'd have to replace the knife with a sword.
Isn't the woman from Bound, her name's Corky?
Yeah.
So Corky would be the rope.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, the candlestick is one of the women from Portrait of a Lady on Fire. The gun is Nicole Hott.
Sure, sure. Sword can be Xena.
Sword Xena.
We've got a wrench. Oh, Corky should be the wrench, actually.
Corky should for sure be the wrench.
Corky should definitely be the wrench. And then what else? The gun, the rope, the pipe.
See, this is just a definitive reason why Clue needs to be gay. Because what? It's just a bunch of queer plumbers?
Yes.
Right?
I love it.
What's her name? The carpenter from the L Word could be one of them.
Yeah.
With the wrench, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's limitless possibilities here.
Okay.
Limitless.
But I like it.
Yes. Let's discuss after we figure out this clue board. Why do you think dykes in shining armor is such a trope?
Well, so here's what I think is interesting about this is, like, we have had this on our list for so long. Like, we've been keeping this excellent pun in our back pocket for 6 years now, right? And it's interesting because I feel like part of the reason that we haven't sat down and done an episode on it is that we talk about this a lot, right? Like, we mm-hmm. have so many episodes where this idea has come up where we've kind of like touched on it here and there. And it's such a fascinating thing to me because it feels like it is really common, right? Like, yes. I feel like this idea, this archetype of a queer character is very common. And sometimes I also feel like it is elusive in certain ways. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's weird when I sit down because I'm like, I feel like there's a lot of them. And then also when you sit down to try to make a list, I'm like, or am I just like imagining it?
But okay, here's my thing. I think this is such a trope because I think queers are like this in real life. Like, it's multi-layered, right? Lee, I feel like you are like this.
You are
a dyke in shining armor. And that is okay. But, like, I feel like even in a way, so, like, when you think about it on screen, right? Like, when we talk about this, like, if you talk about Xena, right? That's, like, right. literally a full-on dyke saving people, like, with a sword, right? That's, like, on the nose, like, this is a dyke in shining armor. But I feel like this trope exists because, number one, I think, like, relationships in general, even if they're not queer, there's, like, one person who tends to be the, like, protector and another one who's, like, the protected. Mm. And that's a gross generalization that I know is very heteronormative. But I don't know. Like, I think it can change. Like, I think people can switch off. But I do think when you care about someone, you want to save them, quote unquote. Yeah. When you care about someone and they're in a precarious situation, you want to be the person to save them. You're not going to be like, oh, let me let that other person save them. Like, you are like,
even if it's an emotional save, you know, possibly murdered by the mafia. Like, yeah, you just want to step in.
Yeah, you just want to step in and kidnap sure. them. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, like. But I just feel like it's a human desire to, like, protect someone you love.
Here's where I think the issue is for me with this. And I'm not saying I have an answer because I don't think I've ever I don't know that I have a conclusion here yet. I feel like that's what we're going to come to a conclusion.
We're going
to
talk about it.
Over the course of this episode. We're going to do it together, Ellie.
Yes, let's do it.
I need, like, a thermometer that reads, like, heteronormativity, and I need to know where this lands on mm-hmm. it. Because the thing that I think is hard is I feel like, especially when you get into the more, like, millennial and up queers, I feel like the idea of the, like, the knight in shining armor who comes in and saves the fair princess, like we just talked about, like, that's
outdated. Yes,
the patriarchy in a nutshell, right? Like, that's it. That is problematic. And what is hard sometimes is how do you have one of those things without the other, right? Because how do you allow the empowering stance on womanhood and femininity that allows for the dyke in shining armor without scrapping the completely dismissive and belittling stance of those things that is the maiden who needs to be rescued, right?
Yes, but I also think like some media has done a better job of this.
Making
it less black and white. But I also do feel like there are dynamics that exist in this world where there is a butch lesbian who is with a very femme lesbian who likes the fact that her butch lover takes care of her.
And but I it also think doesn't, that's okay. You don't have to butch. Like,
or
that's
even if
the
they're
other
not butch.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah. But like, that's why I said like the dynamics of that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I get it. I get what you mean.
But that is like sort of a heteronormative relationship within a queer community.
Yes. And I also think it's possible to have the Dyke in Shining Armor exist completely outside of that dynamic. And that's why I want to talk about it, because I feel like it's interesting. I feel like we will sort of structure our conversation around examples of this in the media. But I do think what we're discussing is like, this is a real thing. Like, this exists. This is out there. Like, there are like these, they walk among us.
These dykes in shining armor. If you're out there, let us know. If you are, if, you know how they say like femme for femme or like butch for butch or whatever. It's like if you're a dyke for dyke.
Right.
If you are two dykes in shining armor that are together, like honestly, great. Save each other. Like,
searching for DSA?
Yeah. Like, I don't think it has to exist. You're right. I don't think it has to exist on like, this is the knight and this is the princess. There are so many. But I also think that's what's fucking awesome about queer relationships is like, because one day you could be the knight and the next day you could be the princess if you fucking want.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and that's okay. I just think it's cool. That's all. But yes.
It is cool. Although my question is, if you have two dykes in shining armor dating each other, whose cape goes over the puddle on the ground? Like, do you hold them together?
Yeah, they hold them together. Yeah. They each hold one side. Yeah, yeah, they take turns.
You can walk over two whole puddles, okay?
Well, there's also like a chivalry of it, right? Like, I don't know, like of like a, as much as we want to like fight against some of these like patriarchal things, it's also like, okay, so like there are also lesbians who like want to be a gentleman.
Yeah.
Right? And like gentleman is a gendered word, but there's like, right? There are queer women who like want to hold the door, who want to put their cape on the puddle. Like, and so like, yeah, like that's, I think that's like the best real life, I feel like, version of it that we can talk about. But let's talk about some media examples, because it's like, I think it will help sort our conversation.
So I was trying to think of some older examples for us, like classic, who are like the OGs, mm-hmm. right? Like the OG DSA is out there.
Turned it to DSA.
I'm going to make it happen. Listen, this is going to be a thing. I think my OG for me is Xena, obviously, mm-hmm. as we said. Like, how do you, I mean, come on. She's flipping all over the place, left and right. She's got a sword. She's got a chakram. She's got a horse. She's
a DSA.
She's a warrior princess.
She is a warrior. Yes.
Right? Like, yes. It leaves very little.
Yeah, I'm like, not necessarily shining armor.
Yeah.
But like, she's definitely wearing some sort of armor. A little skimpy armor. But we got the armor.
A little leather skirt armor, yeah, but, you know, we got something armor going on. Yeah, she does take pristine care of it, though. So, you know, I bet that is, like, spit shine, that leather. You can see your face in that.
I still have not watched Xena. I'm so sorry.
Oh, Ellie.
As we're talking about this, I really feel like that has to be my next rewatch. Complete watch. Because I just feel like we would have we got to do it for Less Essentials at some point, so
I
guess we've
like
done a Should Have Been Gay on it.
We've done a Should Have Been Gay on it. I know.
But also, like,
I feel like
maybe
when you go back and rewatch Xena, I feel like I should go back and rewatch Xena, because I haven't, to be fair, I haven't watched it in years. Last time I watched it through, I was in grad school. I think it was like my first year of grad school. And I watched it in grad school. I hadn't watched it since I was like a kid, when I used to watch it when like they were airing when I was young. And I had forgotten how absolutely bonkers crazy some of that show is, and especially like how off the rails it got at the end. It is wild, and I don't feel like you're ready for it. So
I gotta do, I mean it's like probably like when I did my Buffy watch and I was just like, I don't really like, I know it's a good show, but I don't really know what I'm getting into. And then I was like, what is happening? But I love it.
Yeah,
but
it's not as good as Buffy. People are gonna come after me for saying that. It's not as good. It's fun. It's so much fun to watch. I don't think it's as...
It takes itself less seriously.
Yes, I think that's a better way to say it. I think it takes itself less seriously than Buffy does. It's campier than Buffy is. But it's fun and it's crazy.
So in Xena, because I haven't seen it, there is obviously the Xena and Gabrielle dynamic. Do you feel like that's like... DSA.
They're both DSAs. They're DSA for DSA.
So you feel like
all up
this
in
is
this
DSA
bitch.
For DSA. Was there ever a time in the series where you felt like Gabrielle was princess?
Yeah, she starts out very...
And then it like sort of evolves, right?
Well, she starts out a little like naive. She's a little, you know, she's got these sparkly eyes and a heart that believes in the good in the world. And she gets a little like battle hardened over time. So it's like, I don't think she starts out less chivalrous. She doesn't start out less, like, less willing to step in and save others or willing to put herself on the line to save others. She just starts out a little less, you know, hardened, I guess.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting because I would say they are both Dykes in Shining Armor, but I think they have very different vibes, like very
As
different
we all do
styles.
In the queer community, too. No two Dykes in Shining Armor are quite alike.
No, the same. because Xena's very, like, gruff, you know? Like, she's kind of over it. She's colder, in a way. Like, she'll still save people, but she'll kind of, like, save them and then be like, okay, and, like, just ride off, you know? And be like, I don't need your thanks.
Yes.
Like, maybe stop being attacked and just, like, ride away. And like Gabrielle is less of that. Like, you know, Gabrielle will be like, let me stay and make sure you're okay and learn your life story and like bake you some food. You know, I don't know.
I mean, honestly, it sounds like a power couple to me.
They are. They're great. Mm-hmm. They're
yes. But okay. So what do you find like from that OG thing? How does that inform your Dykes in Shining Armor?
I think it is. It's always interesting to me that so many of the stories that are out there that are all about like empowering female characters, right? Because like that's what Xena was like billed as, right? Xena wasn't billed as a dyke. The tagline was not that. And so I always think it's funny that like a huge amount of these like empowering female characters, right? Like same, I mean, not the Dyke and Shining Armor part necessarily, but like the same with like Katniss and like all this stuff. Like a huge part of that type of a character is this idea that like you don't need a man to save you. You can save yourself. And there's just something about that that like is gay.
Yes.
Like it's why so many times when people are like, this is just a strong female character, like on our Should Have Been Gays, and we're like, yeah, which it to be fair is a little gay.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a bit gay, honestly.
Well, that's what I'm saying too, is like, okay, so you have like you have a strong female character who can save themselves but also saves other women, right? So it's like, so you have this thing where you've sort of replaced the man with this DSA. Yeah.
Well, and that's,
in the
so,
media
okay.
landscape. Like in the media stories landscape. That we have been telling, it, like Xena in the past would just have been like, I don't know, Hercules. Like, isn't Hercules like similarly timed, that show?
Yes. Yeah. They aired like simultaneously. Yeah. She was a spinoff of Hercules.
Yeah.
And here's where I think it gets interesting to me, because Xena, as we know, canonically, like really should have been gay, like was intended to be gay, couldn't be made gay with, you know, like what would get approved on air. I'm curious to know, like, when they started the show, was that the intention, or was it just that you made this character who then obviously was so gay? Because
I think that's probably it.
I mean, I it makes sense to me, but it also is so funny to me if that's the case, that you would be like, let's write a strong female that clearly is gay. It's so unavoidable in some ways that it's funny to me that it's so much, it's still so, like, people miss it still so often. Do you know what I mean? That you still get so many characters who are written to just be, I'm this strong woman, and they don't seem to see how gay they've made them by being like, I don't need or want a man.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so definition, you are gay. You don't want men, and you surround yourself with women, and you, like, try to put yourself in all these, you put yourself constantly in situations where, like, you are saving the damsel in distress. Like, you're gay.
Well, and where you run into this big problem where I think a lot of media still does not know how to write a dynamic in a heteronormative relationship with a character like that. Like, with
that is,
well,
so,
just with
any sort of strong woman.
Yes.
That is so accurate, because I mean, I literally was just thinking, I was like, wait, why are they only saving women? I'm like, because I feel like we can't, like, okay, if Xena saved a man, right? I don't know if she did and whatever, but, like, say she saved a man, then, like, you've emasculated that man, and, like, we as a society can't handle that. And if you emasculate the man, quote unquote, then he must be gay. So how are you going to have him be with Xena?
Right.
Right? Like, it just, like, completely, I would actually love to see a freaking straight woman in shining armor save a straight man, damsel in distress, and, like, get that. Like, that would turn some shit around. I'm here for that.
You know what I'll say is maybe one of the few times where I think they managed to pull something close off is The Mummy. I'm going to say,
oh my God,
The Mummy.
Yes, I fucking love
Bisexual awakening everywhere.
Yes.
I think The Mummy's probably the closest that you can come. I think he manages to be rescued well. Right.
Yes.
But it's hard when you still have to then go for the, like, and he's dipping her down in a big sensual kiss. Like, it's so hard to shy away from, even if you try to write a character who is like that, who is strong, who is powerful, who is saving people, from the need to still make her be the romantic heroine princess.
Yeah.
Right. It's almost unavoidable. So that's where I think we land for me with Xena is, it's why I don't think there was a convincing male romantic interest for Xena. They kind of did for Gabrielle, but Gabrielle, I think, again, always started out a little less on that front for me. But I think Xena is a really interesting place to start, to then examine, like, where do you start to see these other types of characters being written? And especially, where do you start to see them as they start explicitly making them
gay?
Because it opens so many doors. So many doors.
I will say, people are going to come for us about Xena because they still, like, on TikTok, they're like, Xena is gay. And it's like, okay, yes. But like, we're gonna talk about Debs, which is, like, Debs is a lot gayer than Xena. Debs is, like, explicitly, like you said, explicitly gay. We are talking about fucking gay spies, gay evil villains. And so you think that Lucy Diamond and, oh my God, what's her name?
Yeah, Amy.
Okay, so both of them, I think, are dykes in shining armor, no?
Well, can we call someone a dyke in shining armor when they're a villain? Does morality factor into the DSA archetype?
I mean, that's a good question. I think you can still call a villain a DSA. Because
if she rescues the girl.
Yeah, because do you not think that Lucy Diamond rescued Amy from heteronormativity?
Did she not rescue her from her stupid boyfriend?
Did she not rescue her from her stupid boyfriend? Yes, she quote unquote kidnapped. She didn't really kidnap her, right?
Right.
She left of her own accord. And I think in a way she saved her from her own life. That's why, like, I find if we look at Dykes in Shining Armor in a more, like, generally saving people way, you'll see that most queers are Dykes in Shining Armor in some way. Does that make sense? Like, it's like, you don't have to, like, physically have saved someone from death to save them. That's dramatic, but you know what I mean? Save.
You save them in like a Jesus sense.
Yeah.
Like a Haley Kiyoko lesbian Jesus kind of saving.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. safe.
Lucy Diamond there on the beach. It was there that I carried you, kind of saving.
Exactly,
okay, fine.
Exactly. You probably wrote this saying Amy's at Ike and Shining Armor.
I was thinking Amy when I wrote it. Yeah.
But to me, Lucy is my Ike and Shining Armor.
Is that just because you want to be saved by Lucy
Diamond? Yes, that's because I want to be saved by Lucy Diamond. But I think that I do think that morality.
But do you also want to be saved by Amy? Because you've got a thing for blondes, Ellie. It's not...
Yes, I could be saved by either of them, honestly. Both of them at the same time. I'd be very happy. Great. We can do this.
Great.
But so what do you think is different between Xena and Debs? Like, when you see this evolution?
Okay, let's talk about the evolution. I guess what's interesting is that they're very similar, actually. Mm-hmm. They're very similar. Lucy is a little bit more morally in a gray area than I think Xena is for a lot of the series. But I think in the context, especially when you compare Amy and Gabrielle, right, you get a lot of similar things of they're both heroes. They're both heroic. They're both morally extremely good people in terms of their character. They're both willing to go out and put their lives on the line. They're both a little naive of the world, right?
Yep.
They're both a little about to become a whole heck of a lot gayer.
Gayer, yeah. As gay as they possibly can.
Sure. And I feel like Xena and Lucy, you could draw a lot of parallels there between the, like, I'm more battle-hardened and I have, you know, lost
lots
a lot
of lesbian
of the...
exes.
We give us it. Xena's Russian ex. This is what we want. Yeah, I just... No, I feel like in the sense of they're a little... They're grittier, you know, mm-hmm. of characters. Is that how we can describe Lucy Diamond? She's so campy. But I'm going to go with it. I'm rolling with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, now I feel like you're selling me on it's Lucy. I don't know.
It's Lucy. She saved her. and she saves her at the end.
She does.
Also, like...
And she knows how to, like, wield a gun, you know?
Yeah, she has all the skills that a Dyke in Shining Armor needs. But another thing I sort of want to talk about, because I'm feeling it happen to me, is, like, how do you feel when you are watching a Dyke in Shining Armor trope? Because I am, I'm like, oh, she saved her. Like, I love it. I eat that shit up. I'm like, please show me some lesbians saving each other. You know what I mean? Like, as a trope, I'm obsessed with it.
Here's the thing. I think way too much of me is shaped by having watched too many Disney movies mm-hmm. where the prince comes in and saves the day, and not super understanding, as we talked about when we watched JoJo Siwa Dancing with the Stars.
All right, here we go.
Not super understanding why I didn't quite want to be the princess in that scenario. And so to me, there's just always something incredibly validating about mm-hmm. a Dyke in Shining Armor. Always. Always. Yep. Just always.
You wanted to be the prince, is what you're saying.
100,000%. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so there's something about that portrayal, and that portrayal over time more and more frequently becoming gayer and gayer, that I'm just like,
here
yeah,
for.
Eat that yeah. shit up, yeah, yeah. man. Just spoon it to me endlessly. I'm happy.
Yes. I think I'm more here for the villain turned in. Like, that's the thing too, while I'm talking about Lucy Diamond. I don't know yeah. what it is. I'm into the villain turning into the savior.
I have a theory for you, Ellie. Let's psychoanalyze each other.
Oh, God.
Episode.
Let's go.
Okay. Let's do it. We're therapizing here.
Here
okay?
we go.
I have a theory, because here's what just popped into my head as we were talking about Lucy Diamond. And I was like, why was that not my immediate inclination? Because I think I'm getting caught up in the moral aspect of it. Mm. And I think what you're latching onto more immediately, especially with Lucy and Debs, is the idea of somebody who will protect their person against anything.
Yes.
Right? Like,
no
Lucy
matter
might
who they
want
are.
To rob the world and vaporize Australia, but she will not let a single hair on Amy's head be harmed, right?
Yes.
That to you is the immediate, like, yeah, a hero.
Yes. Because she's going to save her person. Yes.
Right.
And I don't care what else she does.
You're like, take out whoever's in your way. I don't care what they did, baby girl. You go for it.
You, like, I'm fine with it as long as, like, you're going to save me.
Yeah. Well, and maybe that factors in a little bit too. And this is why it's occurring to me as we roll into what I think is our other sort of OG example of this, which is Bound. Right. Because similar.
Which definitely.
I would not argue that either of them are great
pious
people. Yeah. Not.
This is not The Sound of Music.
No, not going to win any church awards here, but the protection of your person element is strong. High marks, A+ marks on do what you got to do at whatever cost to protect your person. Yes. So maybe that's what we're refining our definition of a dyke in shining armor closer to.
Well,
now,
that,
right?
And that's, I think, what I was asking at the beginning. Like, that's how I see it, is like,
yeah,
it's more specific, like, which is like also like the dyke portion of it, I think, too, because like you could be a knight, but like, who are you saving?
Right. Ooh.
But you know what I'm saying.
I like that.
Like, and I think, like, okay, so Bound, morally ambiguous, but they're saving each other. Let's talk a little bit about Nicole Haught.
Okay.
Because, or did you want to talk more about Bound? Because
no, I don't. I actually want to say, because what I think is interesting is most of the, so we also made a list of like kind of more recent examples of this, and there's a lot more of them. I mean, I just threw a couple examples down quickly, but I think there's probably more even than
a lot,
we wrote down
yeah.
here. And the one that I want to highlight quickly is actually the only one that jumps out at me super clearly for that dynamic of morally, where do you land as a person, but the protecting
She-Ra.
Of the person that you care about. I was actually going to say The Handmaiden, because we just talked about that with Sookie being, you know, that kind of, she rides in on her white fucking horse to be like, let me destroy all of these books and take you away from here and save you. And Hideko absolutely responds in that,
My Sookie. But also, and Hideko is not helpless.
No, not at all.
Right. So it's like, it is like, that's why I like the dynamic where it feels fluid.
Yeah.
Sookie at certain points saves Hideko, but Hideko also like poisons a man to get away from him to leave and be with Sookie. You know, so like, it's like, you know, they're both doing what they gotta do.
Yeah. On the She-Ra front, I do see where you're going for.
If you're talking about
well.
Morally ambiguous, like Catra, but also like we've already talked about that in Alessential. It's like
Catra's towards, like, nobody on the planet can hurt you but me.
Yes, exactly. It's the opposite. Yeah. Yeah. I'm the only one who will completely destroy you. But it's okay. It's okay. But I want to talk about Nicole Haught, because I think Nicole Haught and Wynonna Earp is an example of like, this is like a good person who saves people in general.
Yeah.
Right? So like, but when she saves Waverly, it's different.
Yeah. Oh, God. Those two. Listen.
I know. Love them. But I also feel like Waverly had such a like good transition from being a little bit more damsel-y into
she
like.
She did. But it's still
coming
Nicole,
into her own.
Nicole is the protector in that dynamic. I mean, there's just no two ways around it. And also, you know, the other thing that's interesting to me about looking at Wynonna Earp, given that we were just talking about how it's so hard for shows to write the heroic female into a heteronormative romance kind of storyline, is I do think Wynonna Earp does that as
you can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too, Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, what I think is interesting to me is it's so interesting to look at a show like that. And I get it. I get the idea of wanting to say, hey, Wynonna Earp is a show about an extremely flawed, heroic female lead.
Yes.
I get that. But I do also think that it's interesting how much about Wynonna's flaws open the doors for her hetero romances, whereas Nicole Hott is an unflawed hero. And therefore she's gay.
Therefore she's
right?
Gay.
Like, try to imagine Nicole Hott's character being interested in a man. You can't. You can't do
can't.
It. Right? It just doesn't work. It
yes,
doesn't work.
Because
I don't...
she's a DSA and Wynonna is
yes,
not a D.
It's not. Yes. And I think that there's something really... I feel like we're so close to this, like, fundamental truth, negative truth. You know?
Fundamental truth about Danks and Tiny
Fundamental
Armor.
Truth yes. about the world, which is
yes.
that, like, if you are a hero and
if you're
good,
perfect,
you're
going
to be gay. Which is that the gays are perfect. There
never,
it is.
If
the
never
gays
changed, yes.
are perfect. We've found it.
If
we've
we don't want to change
it.
A thing okay. about you, you're gay.
You're gay.
No, but also if you're a villain, you're gay. So the answer is we're all gay.
We're all gay.
We're all gay.
We were no, so close. We had it.
We
it was
really
there and
were,
it slipped away
it
from
was
us.
There and
you
it
know?
Just yeah, it just went away. But I mean, I think for Nicole Hott, it's like the devotion aspect is also super gay. Like, I don't know, there's something about like all of the characters that we've sort of talked about so far. There's something that's like very gay about being like singularly focused.
On a woman.
Do you know what I mean, though? Like, I'm not, like...
No, I have no idea, Ellie, why that would
and
be
that's not, like,
something
obvious,
that we might be into.
Right? Like, and that's not to say, like... I'm like, that's a very, like, monogamous thing to say as well. But like, I don't know. There's something about, like, a dyke who's like, I'm so in love with this woman, I am going to show her that I am the... person who's gonna sweep her off her feet and like take her away and like be the person who like she never has to worry again because I'm here.
Yeah,
like there's something singularly gay about that type.
There's
baby,
it's
of
so
a queer
gay.
Person.
It's also, I mean, it's so hard, especially for Waverly and Nicole. It's so hard to get away from the thing that I think is so. Listen, gays, let's all be incredibly honest with ourselves right now. There is something so appealing about the whole storyline of being like, wow, you have had an absolute fucking dud of a boyfriend and I'm gonna treat you right.
Yes.
And I am going to be cast in the light that character gets cast. as the unkillable, unwavering,
yep,
just rock solid, steady. Yeah, I mean, of course that's appealing. That's that's fucking crack for us. What are you talking about?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
it straight into our veins.
You see it and you're like,
thank you.
You're like, yes.
Yeah.
This is it. This
and especially because there's the whole aspect of it where it's like, oh, and has Waverly questioning her sexuality and okay, fine, just fucking spoon feed us everything we've ever wanted, why don't you?
Yep. Okay. I mean, but this also does bring me back to one of our first episodes ever about talking about straight girls, because like there is also then when we talk about this, there's like a fine line here,
yes,
where you are also creating a character and an archetype that is like, I'm better than your boyfriend, right? Like, but also like that's sort of danger. It is a little dangerous, as much as like, I'm like, yeah, let's talk about it because we're gay and like, yeah, we're better. They're also like, if you turn yourself into this thing that you're not, that doesn't necessarily mean that this person who's been with a shitty boyfriend is going to be like, yeah, I'm right. gay. But if you act
but
like that,
man,
with a girl who's
do,
already gay, I know, it's fucking great. But
when they do, it just hits different.
It just hits different. It does.
It's
but like,
so good.
But that is such a thing. There's a comedian who did a whole bit about it that was so funny, but I can't remember who they were, and I feel so bad. But like, they did a whole bit about how like, so I've been dating a woman who like has only dated men before me, and like the bar is so low.
Oh, God, I know. I know. Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about because I have also seen those clips and I am blanking on the name
as like,
well.
Yeah, it's like almost like a dyke in shining armor is like, I'm going to be a quote unquote prince. Like, I'm going to be like what a man should be, quote unquote, protector, but better.
But better.
And like that toes a line, like we talked about at the beginning, of a bit problematic. But also we eat that shit up, right? Because you're like,
so
this is just a heteronormative relationship, but a woman is in it instead.
And because what I think is interesting is that same dynamic of absolutely Nicole is the protector in that relationship. And also absolutely she gets saved by Waverly sometimes, mm-hmm. because that can happen. That can happen in a gay pairing that is so hard to allow to happen in straight pairings, you know?
But I think that's the thing that
such
needs
a different dynamic.
Yes. That's the thing that needs to happen to make the dyke in shining armor be less problematic.
Yeah.
There has to be like a back and forth in our media in particular. And then I feel like also
because otherwise it's too heteronormative.
Yes. Because
right?
Otherwise it's like, okay, so are we just watching a gay relationship, but you threw a woman as a stand-in for it? But like, I don't know.
Are there examples you can think of like that? That's a curious thing. Like, are there badly done dyke and shining armors?
I don't know, because I love them so much.
You're like, not to me, bitches. They're all good.
No, I mean, probably.
There must be, right?
I mean, there definitely are, which I would just have to think about. I feel like there's got to be like some examples in the L word that are probably problematic, let's be real.
Oh, well, Jesus. I mean, name a non-problematic
I know
thing in the L word, let's be real.
Like Helena Peabody?
I'm sorry. I
know, like, I'm saying problematic. Like, I feel like she is like, I'm going to take care of you, Tina. You know what I mean? And you're like, you're freaking me the fuck out.
Helena Peabody gonna fight off the dangers of the world with stacks of cold hard cash.
But do you know, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's a person who I'm like, okay, you are like, she's like acting like a protector to someone who like doesn't need to be protected.
Yeah.
That's what
Helena
I'm saying.
Peabody, like, never met a danger she couldn't buy off.
But she's like overbearingly protective. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's what I think about. I don't know. I'll think about it.
Okay. If you have ideas, listeners, please
tweet
let us at
know.
Us or email us or something. Who are your problematic dykes in shining armor? Because there have to be some out there. Yeah.
There definitely are. Well, because that's what I'm saying. Like, when it turns to be, I think, overbearing or like completely belittling your partner to be like, your partner you act like you are the protector because you put your partner in a position that's like you always have to be saved. That's codependent and not good.
I think that's a problematic approach. I also think there are times where I really think the Dyke in Shining Armor trope can start skirting a lot closer to the Shane archetype, right? Of the, I know more than you and I can keep you safe from all the stuff that's out there. But in a kind of belittling kind of way, or where the Dyke in Shining Armor persona can start to skirt towards that predatory kind of vibe, right? Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a much slipperier slope than it could otherwise be, for sure.
I think when like your whole personality turns into that, then it can be. But I think like I think the reason why some of the people we're talking about and like the characters we're talking about fit into a space where I am like, oh, I love this, is because like all of the protection feels like it goes both ways, and like it's coming from a place of like genuine, just like, I love this person so much, I cannot let anything bad happen to them.
Okay, while we're talking about that dynamic, which I know you were so into in Debs, because I think this is also one of the more recent times that we talked about this on the podcast, let's talk about School for Good and Evil.
I mean, first of all, she's so fucking gay.
But like, a literal sword, a literal suit of armor. Yeah, doing good.
I mean, I love this dynamic too, because same thing, like this is flipping stuff on its head, right? We have quote unquote good and quote unquote evil, right? We have one who's good, one who's evil. And the evil one.
Two who are gay. Okay.
Both who are gay.
Yeah.
The evil one saves the good one. Literally puts herself in between her friend, quote unquote, her lover, and a dagger. And then afterwards, the other one freaking kills the person who hurt her friend. Like that, it's just Dyke in Shining Armor, like, to the max.
So compare and contrast for me School for Good and Evil to Debs. Let's do that.
All right. Well, the only thing that sucks is School for Good and Evil isn't gay enough.
Oh,
that's the
contrasting. Come on.
But I do think
you're trying to tell me they're not going home and getting under those sheets at the end of that movie. Lies.
They definitely are. They're very similar. They're very similar. Except, I don't know, like, except I feel like Aggie's more gay, even though it's not gay enough.
Well, because I think it's interesting because Lucy Diamond, now that we're going back to that, Lucy does fall, she gets closer to that predatory lesbian trope.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And neither Aggie or Sophie ever do because
they're
ostensibly straight.
So also, like, is it better to
Let's just take a minute to laugh at that.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're not.
So it gives them a very different dynamic, right? Because they have to make it clear enough to Amy that Lucy is interested in her. And so you lean heavily on that, like, I'm checking you out. I'm flirting. I'm leaning
true,
in for the kiss. Like, and they don't have any of that between Sophie
it's
and Aggie.
It's so
right?
pure. It's so pure.
It's a pure love.
I know. But I wish it was a little less pure. But that's all.
That's what fanfic is for, Ellie. That's what
fanfic is for. Yeah, I mean, I do feel like they protect each other without wanting anything from the other. Which is also like another thing that's just like so beautiful about that Dykes and Shining Armor trope when you do it in a way that's like pure.
Yeah.
I will save you. I will protect you. And that's it.
And also give him a sword. Give more lesbian swords is what we're saying.
Give him a sword.
give him all the swords. Listen.
What other media representations do you want to talk about before we wrap up? Head to our Q&A.
I feel like we should talk a little bit about my favorite little lesbians in Fear Street, Sam and Dina. Because Dina, come on. Dina's a DSA.
DSA. Girl
that
is trying
girl.
To save her girl everywhere she goes.
Yes. Like, I mean, you want to talk about I will let nothing in this world or the next harm you.
That's it.
That's Dina. That's Dina right there to a T. I will save you from all the murderous ghosts that there may be. I will bring you back to life by sheer force of will alone.
And we eat that shit up.
We do. She's a protector, man. She's a protector. Same for, listen, while we're going for my horror gaze, same for Jamie.
Oh,
in Bly Manor, right?
She's like, we are in a haunted ass house and I will still save you from everything.
Mm-hmm. But then who saves who at the end, Ellie?
Oh, it's so rough.
Yeah.
She'll do anything for her and then she like couldn't.
Do you need to just a little bit more?
It's so sad because she couldn't save her in the end.
Also, what does it mean when you fail in protecting as a dyke in shining armor?
Oh, God.
Who do you become? What is your identity? Who even are you anymore?
I still think you're a dyke in shining armor. Also, like, did she really fail?
Well, no. I mean, you know, but to her.
This is sort of random, but not.
Okay, hit me.
Because it's not a dyke. But Lee, have you watched The Last of Us?
I haven't. I've been keeping up on it. I cannot bring myself to watch it yet.
You have to.
I know.
I'm well aware
of episode 3. I know everything that happened in episode 3. I've watched the clips.
I felt like I was watching the gay fucking Notebook. I was bawling my eyes out uncontrollably. But my point here is Bill and Frank are also the male equivalent of dykes in shining armor. Like,
fair.
He has literally built an entire home to protect himself first, but then when his partner comes in, that moment where he literally says, I was never afraid until you were here, wrecked me. Like, that entire gay story.
Can't be afraid when you've got nothing to lose.
I know.
Until you do.
That entire gay story was just about two men protecting each other through the end of the world. And falling in love in between it. Like, that was like, that really got me. So I just had to honorable mention that shit because that was probably the most beautiful gay love story I've ever seen in my entire life. And our entire show is about watching gay shit.
Yeah.
And I was not prepared for it. I was not. But yes, other dykes. Also She-Ra, which we sort of talked about.
Yeah,
She-Ra
we mentioned.
Is literally a giant sword lesbian.
A huge sword lesbian.
Your whole personality is saving the world. But I feel like She-Ra also has some problematic things about herself, which they dive into, right? Where like your entire self-worth doesn't have to be about protecting others. So like that's another like layer of the dykes in shining armor where it's like, am I valuable if I don't protect other people? Right. So like that's I can't even start talking about that. But that's, I feel like, a whole other layer. So Lee, what have we decided about our dykes in shining armor? Let's recap.
OK, I think the dyke in shining armor trope is a protector, is extremely invested in protecting the person that they care about more so than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Capable of being themselves saved in return is, what else have we covered? I'm trying to remember it all.
I mean, we can talk, like, it can't skirt the moral ambiguity and moral ambiguity. Also, like, 50-50 on whether it's a little too heteronormative. Gotta be
still a little
delicate,
split, right?
Delicate balance of the heteronormativity of the dyke in shining armor.
Because sometimes they are like I would say some of them still feel more heteronormative to me. Like Bound, especially, I would put there on the relationship dynamic that feels too heteronormative for
a
gay couple.
Also, like at that time, I feel like they were just like lesbians must be one. Sort of manly woman who like this is the man in the relationship and this is the woman. Like,
yeah.
Like, felt like you needed to delineate.
Who wears the pants, ladies?
Yeah,
sure.
And it's like, you don't have to delineate that anymore, I feel like. But yes, overall, I eat that shit up. Give me more dykes in shining armor.
Give us all the dykes in shining armor, I'm here for honestly. It. Keep them coming.
All right. Ready for our Q and gay?
I'm so ready. Hit me.
Q and gay.
Here we go. Question number one. Who's your favorite dyke in shining armor? A, Xena. B, Nicole Hott. C, Lucy Diamond. Or D, She-Ra?
Oh, man. This is such a hard... This isn't a... This episode. It is an attack. Listen. I love Lucy Diamond. I really do. I feel like as far as specifically for the dyke in shining armor trope, I have to go Hott.
Yep.
You gotta go
Sheriff
Hott.
I feel like
Hott
is the...
quintessential,
the definition.
Man. Yeah.
You look up dykes in shining armor, her picture's there.
She is the template.
Yes. She is the template.
Okay. Question two, Ellie. Are you A, a dyke in shining armor, or B, a pillow princess?
Good question.
You don't want to answer, do you?
It's going to be a B for me.
You can lie to us. You
it's
can lie to us,
It's
going to
be a B
Ellie.
For me, everyone. I'm sorry, but, you know, not in that way. I just wrote pillow princess because I thought it was funny, but I like to be taken care of. I'm sorry. I'm not a good savior.
I was going to let you lie and get away with it, but
No, I can't lie. I can't lie to you, Lee. You know too much. All right, question number three.
I could have been making all the faces at you and nobody would have known.
Is there another option? It's really just that. That's it. Okay.
That's all we wrote in the question. Yeah, it's just those two.
Sort of a, I'll say switch, question mark. Okay. All right.
What is switch in this scenario, page boy? Like, what are we working with here?
Yeah. Switch slash page boy.
What's our medieval metaphor to go
yes,
with?
I like that. Page boy.
Okay, great.
But I think I'm still a princess and it's okay. All right, question number three, Lee. Does a DSA have to be morally good? A, yes, or B, no?
Listen, I feel like I came into this episode thinking yes, and I'm leaving like a firm
it.
No. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You won me over. You convinced
yes.
me.
Did it.
Okay, question four, Ellie. Do you think dykes in shining armor are too heteronormative? Yes, no, or it depends?
I'm going to go with it depends. I do feel like they lean a little hetero for me, but if you give me the right kind, I can vibe on the queerness of it.
Give you a Lucy Diamond and
give me a Lucy Diamond
and
it's okay. Yeah,
sure.
Question number five. What would your weapon of choice be as a DSA? A, sword. B, gun. C, pipe. Or D, candlestick?
Listen, if you're going to go dyke and shining armor, you go for the sword. You go
sword,
full,
lesbian.
Full on.
All the way.
You go for the sword. Have you seen the TikTok lumberjack lesbian who has a sword now? Have
no?
you seen this? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Is she just like chopping wood?
With a sword.
Yeah,
I mean, she also chops a lot of wood with her axes.
Yeah, yeah,
that,
I've
that
seen
was
her do
thing,
it with
but
the
then,
axe. I don't think I've seen the sword.
Oh, she got a sword at one point. You'll have to look her up.
Great.
Yeah. Anyways, the answer is sword. You got
to
go for a sword.
The answer is sword. Remember, you can give us your own answers to this episode's Q&A questions on our Twitter at Let's Hang Out Pod.
Let me hear you say, hip, 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 yeah.
We love hearing from you and building community, so we want to shout out some of our favorite things each episode. And we would like to say a huge thank you to everyone who's been replying to the comments on our School for Good and Evil Should Have Been Gay post, because that shit is getting wild.
A-plus work, everyone.
And yeah, you're all so clever and you're really sticking it to all the people who are like, but they were twins. They're gay.
The straights are out for us and it's just silly. It's silly.
It's so silly. Like, the entire point of our show is just to say people are gay. Like, it's a joke, everyone. But also, they're all gay. Sorry, Lee.
We also want to shout out a user on Instagram who reached out to us to thank us for talking about coming out at your own pace and how not everybody is out all the time or to everyone in their lives immediately, and how everybody sort of needs their own timing and their own journey. And that's okay. So thank you to that user for reaching out to us. And yeah,
you know
take
you
your
are.
Time. Take your time, everyone. Do your journey
you do
how you.
You
need to. You do
yes,
you. That's right.
You do you. As always, we want to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster,
Tanya Ferguson,
Sarah and Julia,
Alana Rosen,
Lizette Stye,
A.D. Benitez,
Fiona W.,
and Sophia Phillips.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Leah Henley,
Andrea Doucette,
and Julia Gonzalez. Thank you all so much to you and to all of our patrons. We absolutely could not keep doing this podcast without all of your support.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Les Hangout Pod.
You can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
Or you can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use to listen to podcasts, make sure that you subscribe. That way you'll get new episodes as soon as they go up every week.
We're also posting videos on our YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch them.
Les Hang Out is an independently produced show. It's hosted by us with audio production by Ellie. Our production assistant is Kristen Murison, and Twitter shenanigans and various other things are done by me.
If you want to support the podcast, the easiest thing to do is to rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We love hearing what you have to say.
If you want to join our Patreon, you get access to our Discord chat, to our Les Essentials watch parties. You get access to ad-free episodes and our Patreon bonus episodes, all sorts of other good stuff. You can find that at bit.ly/LesPatreon.
If you want to get some Les Hangout merch, it is the perfect time to get some new Pride gear at bit.ly/LesShop.
And remember, we also have a queer production company making queer podcast musicals with guaranteed happy endings that you can find everywhere at Dollar Bean Prod.
Or at our website, dollarbeanproductions.com.
You can check out the episodes of our first show, The Flame, on any podcasting app.
And we are in the middle of recording for our new musical, Journey to the Heart. We have had some really, really fun recording sessions lately. So yes, if you want to help support us in making more of those musicals like Journey to the Heart, you can join our Patreon at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon.
If you want to follow us individually, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Ellie Brigida. With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee. And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.